And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Dry, whatever you're doing out there. If you're driving, pay attention. It's a wild day out there, Cease. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows that are part of that. Check it out. See what you want to go see. mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150, or you can text us 229-1939. And we want to know what's on your mind today. Hit us up, text us. What do you want to talk about? What happened over the weekend? What are you upset about, happy about, want to talk about? Any of that stuff, we will get to it. First off, Cease, is it going to stop raining ever?
Well,
look at the forecast. It's like rain forever.
Yeah, well, a lot of A&M baseball fans thought the sky was falling over the weekend. They wake up today and they go, it is falling.
Yes. So, I mean, it's. They punched holes in the clouds with those home runs this
week. I'll say this is Mother Nature is a way of coming back at you. Bryan College Station is hosting the UIL tennis state tennis tournaments Tuesday
and
Wednesday.
Well,
so
theoretically.
What do you need? What do you need? Dry courts. And they're going to have all the classification. Do you realize how much of a zoo this town's going to be in the next 3 days? Because guess what? They're not getting them in the next 2 days.
Well, yeah. The chance of rain is like 1,000,000%.
A million, yeah.
It's like they're just going, it's going to rain.
Is there such a thing as 1,000,000%?
No.
Okay.
You can't.
Just checking.
No, you can't really. Well, I mean,
that's
mathematically,
a
yes.
It's an aubreyism.
Practically, no.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's just going to rain forever. Deal with it. Got to get used to it this
week.
Good
time to listen to the radio.
Great time.
Great time.
To listen to the radio.
But not as you're driving.
No.
Focus.
Yeah, you don't want to focus on the roads today. I will say, has there ever been a road with more hidden puddles than Villa Maria? You've ever driven up Villa Maria in a rainstorm? You'll be going along, and just all of a sudden, like the water's coming out both sides of your car. You go, I didn't even see it. Where'd it come from? So that's my hidden water power ranking number one.
Top five most rainy streets.
Well, I will tell you another one is Deacon.
Deacon, I know where Deacon is.
Yeah. Deacon's got a lot of hidden water, too, because it has the big dips.
Big dips.
Yeah.
Over there, you go down, there's the first big one if you go past Wingsmore.
Yeah, by Longmire.
There you go.
Deacon and Longmire's got some hidden water there,
okay,
too.
Okay, give us, Texas, your streets that are really tough when wet. We've got so far Villa Maria and Deacon.
those are two of my top ones. I didn't plot them all out.
And we'll send them to the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just let us know where your hidden water streets are. It's funny though, because you get used to the dips, and then for whatever reason it rains and you can't see them, and then you forget they're there, and then you just kind of plow off into them.
I do that all the time. Then mother-in-law goes, holy cow, Wabba, didn't you see the dip? And I go, no, I didn't.
I've seen cars that got so in, I thought they were going to stall out at where Longmire hits Rock Prairie, you know, right by that. There's like a Walgreens and a Whataburger there. I've seen cars hit that dip so bad, you're like, whoa, you're going to stall your car.
Exactly.
Watch out.
And exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are our power rankings on that. Last week, we had basically a whole hour of the show dedicated to fixing the intentional fouling problems in the NBA. As it stands right now, there's not going to be a fix for this, and it didn't help the Rockets any last night. I mean, they fouled DeAndre Jordan intentionally for the entire second quarter. He shot 28 free throws in the first half. It was an NBA record.
It's incredible.
He missed most of them. He was 14 of 38 from the game, and it didn't even matter.
Not even close to mattering.
No.
I did not watch the game. I watched a lot of games this weekend. Didn't watch that one because by the time I realized it was on and I saw the score, it was over. so yeah. I didn't worry about it. But I'm laughing because I loved all the post-game comments of the players talking about him shooting free throws. It was like evidently so bizarre to shoot that many free throws and being a team that just killed the other team.
Well, what's funny, though, is... And we talked about a change is coming to the NBA.
A change is coming.
Because their entertainment value is what they value more than anything.
Correct.
And
marketing.
They aren't going to let this happen again. Whatever the rule change is going to be, it's kind of funny. And DeAndre Jordan's an unrestricted free agent this summer. His horrible free throw shooting might be why he becomes even more valuable on the free agent market, because he's been so bad at the line that they're going to change this rule, and then when he becomes a free agent, now his bad free throw shooting is not going to matter, and he's going to get paid
right,
even more.
It's even better. It's even better for him.
Unbelievable. So he's going to become... I was reading a story earlier. Billy Gillespie's his agent. Reading a story earlier about how his own, like I said, his own horrible free throw shooting is about to be... the reason he gets paid so much. And it's kind of a fascinating little bit of this thing. And it's true. We talked about last week our ideas. One of mine's always been you should be able to decline the free throws. The other one that has been tossed around more and more, and I like this one too. We brought this up on the show. Some people texted this one in. It's essentially having free throws, non-shooting foul free throws, be like a penalty kick in soccer where no matter who's fouled, anybody can shoot them. And this seems like the more popular idea. And, you know, one thing, because we talked about this last week, the thing that drives me nuts, and it drove me nuts to hear Reggie Miller talk about it last night, I think it was him, saying that, you know, free throws are part of the game. They shouldn't have to be. You know, like, that's no... It's the only... And we've talked about this before. It's the only sport that I can think of where you can, by fouling someone, by doing something illegal,
gain an advantage.
You can make the other person do something they don't want to do. In this case, shoot free throws. So we will see how they fix it. But this thing, this series, it's over, right? I mean, there's no way the Rockets are coming back now.
Come on. I mean, it's
he's got devastated two games in a row.
Okay, people are paying attention to the NBA playoffs, I think. I'm not even a casual NBA fan, but when you see the shots that are happening in the Bulls-Cavs series, you see what's happening with the Clippers, you see that it doesn't matter if you're the MVP winner or the runner-up MVP winner, the MVP award. If you don't have a good team, which Warriors finding out, and so if you don't play well, you're going to lose. So there's a lot of tension on the NBA because right now, who's going to win it all? I mean, come on.
It's been an interesting – once the Spurs went out, because I think a lot of people, and I've said this, that I'm like this, but a lot of people I think are too, is that we just sort of feel like the Spurs are going to win until they don't. And then by the Spurs getting knocked out, now all of a sudden you start thinking – someone else has to win, and someone else has to win the Western Conference. It's not going to be the Spurs or the Thunder or now the Mavericks or any of these teams that we're so used to it being. It could very well be the Warriors. It could very well be the Grizzlies all of a sudden.
Clippers?
Could the Clippers go to the NBA Finals? I mean, it sounds it's one of those. It's like the Cubs in the World Series. It's like one of those phrases you just say.
Could DeAndre Jordan be the MVP of the Finals?
I mean,
less than 50%.
I've never seen anyone do something so horribly and yet dominate a game the way that DeAndre Jordan did last night.
He hit a couple highlight dunks. Holy moly.
Well, and I think the Rockets might have started fouling him too early because then they ran out of people to foul him with. And once that happened, I mean, they were toast because he just dunked all over him in the second half.
Oh, yeah. It's like I will not put Kevin McHale right up for Coach of the Year. Let's put it that way.
No, and the thing is... It's one of those deals. Yeah, fouling DeAndre feels like a good strategy, but it doesn't seem to work out. Every time a team does it, they lose. It just never seems to work. It's kind of hard to explain why it doesn't work.
Bottom line, Clippers are in the Western Conference. I'll be playing for the Western Conference Championship.
Just absolutely destroyed the Rockets last night. I mean, and if one thing, if you're a Rockets fan, the thing you've got to be disappointed in, and you know, Dwight Howard's play is something separate and altogether, but James Harden, who they crowed about being the MVP, is right now being shut down by J.J. Redick, a guy who's never defended anyone his entire career.
But Redick is playing well right now.
Yeah, well, and Redick's, you know, doing what Redick does, shooting threes, making free throws. On the rare occasion he gets fouled, I don't know why anyone would foul J.J. Redick, but
because they want to give him 2 points.
Yeah, in it's because, and it's not because of Reddick's defense. It's because there's stretches of these games where James Harden just doesn't do anything. You're like, move around, get a shot, do something. He just stands there.
The little bit I've watched, suddenly you find yourself after 2 minutes, is Harden on the floor?
Yeah, it really is.
And you go like, okay, this is the guy that was supposed to be the MVP?
Yeah, everyone was crying about him not being the MVP.
Is he on the court?
He's no-show in this series so far.
Is he a Libro in volleyball?
Yeah, being guarded by, of all people, J.J. Redick. So,
That's why everybody had it. J.J. Redick and Jordan leading them to the Western Conference Finals, right?
Well, if the NBA were to come out and make this move where if you get fouled and you're in the bonus and it's a non-shooting foul, anyone on the court can take the free throw, the value of DeAndre Jordan would skyrocket. So would the value of J.J. Redick.
I was going to say, you package them together.
How good would that Redick-Jordan combo?
Batman and Robin all over again.
The absolute money combo. J.J. Redick, who like never misses free throws, and DeAndre Jordan, who now doesn't have to take them, but gets fouled all the time because of how he plays. That'd be spectacular.
Package deal. What a deal.
Oh, man. They'd be, like you said, the Batman and Robin of the NBA. I want to go to our first break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the playoffs. But more specifically about this player-coach dynamic we see for the Cavaliers and see if we've seen anything like this before in sports. I want to get y'all's takes on that. This basically LeBron telling Blatt, no, I'm not doing that, and then changing the whole play. I want to talk about that when we come back, if y'all have seen that before. And also, to see anything else, you want to text us. 229-1939 is the text line. Someone said their hidden water street, South College Avenue.
South College Avenue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know South College.
That's a good one. That is a good one. That's a good one.
Well, especially when you get down towards the Bryan end of South College, because you've got a little more
hills.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe that. It's not really hilly, but it's kind of rolling. I'll say it that way.
Bad terrain.
Yeah. So there you go. That's one of our hidden water streets. Maybe you'll find one while you're listening to the show. Hit us up. Text us to 229.
Hit one while you're listening to the show.
If you hit one and your car stalls out, you're waiting on the tow truck, feel free to text us.
Wow.
And let us know about the water. All right, when we come back, let's talk the Cavs. Let's talk LeBron and his coach that he seemingly hates. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM. 102.7.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swag on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left. It's good.
I'm on my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Lease the bold 2015 Camry LE for only $199 a month for 24 months with $19.99 due at signing. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6/1/15. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, Garland Shelton Imports, and Prosperity Bank. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Spirit Ice Arena invites you to come join them for their annual Spring Ice Show as they bring you Lights, Camera, Skate. Come see the most talented skaters from the Brazos Valley perform selections from Anastasia, High School Musical, Little Mermaid, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, and more. Performances are Friday, May 15th and Saturday, May 16th, with tickets just $12. Spirit Ice Arena at 400 Holloman Drive in College Station. For more information, call Spirit Ice Arena at 693-3900 or click spiriticearena.com.
It's the season dreams are made of. Texas A&M University's MSC Opus will announce the enchanting events coming to its 43rd season on Thursday night, April the 23rd. If you're wondering what Opus has in store for Aggieland in the 2015-16 season, stay connected to Opus on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit mscopus.org. Bryan Broadcasting is proud to be an official media partner of Opus Season 43.
Okay, so it's no secret the powers that be waited until I left town to launch the new Zone 102.7 FM. I understand the why. They figured there'd be more folks listening to my fill-ins than to me, and maybe they could capture a few more listeners. But I fooled them. I came back. So now if you miss me on Sports Radio 1150, you can miss me on 102.7 as well. We call that a twofer. So tune in, or don't, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, hanging out. Someone texted, I don't know why L.A. wouldn't do the hack-a-shack on Houston because they can't hit a free throw to save their lives. Also a good point.
They don't have to.
They kind of started a little bit, they did. Was it Josh Smith or J.R. Smith? Whichever one plays for Houston. The other one plays for Cleveland. I don't know which one's which. I think it's Josh Smith plays for Houston.
Good enough.
Yeah, they started fouling him. He can't shoot free throws. The thing is, the Clippers, like you said, they don't really have to worry about it. They just want the clock to keep running. So they don't need to foul anybody. Anyway, that was kind of a weird deal over the weekend, watching the Rockets just waste players. Anyway, but the stranger dynamic is this end of the Bulls-Cavs series, which is a little bit interesting for a few reasons. One, Derrick Rose is like back from the dead.
And playing, yes, he is. And playing, big time.
Playing pretty well. And then the other thing was this weird situation where David Blatt at the end of the game yesterday, who, first off, tried to call a timeout and they didn't have any. I don't know if you noticed that. A few people screenshot it and were able to show that he tried to call a timeout. They don't have any timeouts. One of the assistants grabs him and like throws him on the bench. But then during that review that they had over whatever it was they were reviewing, he draws up an inbounds play with LeBron inbounding the ball. And LeBron basically goes, no, I'm not doing that. Give me the ball. And my question to you, Cease, why I was going to bring this up, because obviously we're not doing a whole play-by-play breakdown of the Bulls-Cavs series, but have you ever seen a player to say, no, I'm not doing that before? And then
probably a Kobe Bryant at some point in his career had to do that.
Yeah, with Phil Jackson.
But those other yo-yos they've had, I'm sure he's done that.
Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't in the playoffs necessarily, and in this kind of moment. Because I was trying to think, part of me thinks, hey, good on him. I mean, it worked in this case. He's the best player on the planet, perhaps. Certainly the best on his team, and he's saying, I'm not passing the ball in. So part of me thinks good on him. Another part of me thinks that he made it, but if he misses that, you've now undermined this coach completely.
Well, I think he's already undermined him even by hitting it. I mean, we all know that the guy, and I did watch his post-game interviews, and he's kind of like making jokes. He's almost like a comedian up there. Yeah, we got more time, too, out of that.
The whole, like, a coach makes 150 to 200 decisions during the game. The only other people that, have that kind of decision-making or fighter pilots. He had some other crazy quote today, but like, this guy's in over his head, which sounds crazy because of all the years he's been coaching international basketball, but he's clearly, the game isn't that different, but he's clearly in over his head in the NBA, and he has no idea how to handle LeBron James. And somehow, they're still on the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, so how bad can he really be, I guess?
I was listening to this station, and they had a national guy on, I forget, some kind of .com, and I was laughing. He was talking Saturday. His statement basically was Cleveland could win the NBA championship, and they could still fire this guy.
They
could
then go they get might, him. Yeah.
And this is before that, and I'm laughing, and I'm thinking, like, wow, they said the Cleveland owner, who is a loose cannon as well, and you can see this, if whoever's coaching Chicago, he likes him, and he said that if they get rid of him, because
is it Thibodeau?
Yeah. But he said he wouldn't be surprised if they dumped the Cleveland head coach and hired Thibodeau, even if they won the championship. And I'm laughing. This is before Sunday, and I go, hey, that guy's probably right.
If they win the NBA title without Kevin Love and with an injured Kyrie Irving and still fire the head coach, why not just go ahead and make LeBron the head coach? I mean, why even hire somebody?
Oh, they might do that. Don't give them a thoughts.
Would that limit them on the salary cap? I mean, could they have an extra salary for LeBron as the
pay
coach?
Pay him a dollar as a player and play him $15 million
that
as a
coach. That could get him way under the cap. Yeah, they play him whatever the league veteran minimum is as a player. And
they could get
$20 million.
They could get Jordan.
They could get whoever they wanted. Yeah, they could get that
Jordan and Redick.
That Jordan Redick combo. That super team we've been talking about.
NBA wouldn't allow that to happen.
Yeah, but it's an odd, I don't know, it's a weird deal. And I was trying to think if anyone's ever, that we've seen, not even necessarily in the NBA, but just around sports, do something like this.
In football, Joe Namath used to override calls coming in from the bench.
Well,
I can remember reading about that. The coach, Eve Eubank, would call something, he'd run something else.
Well, football, that's a little bit more
expected. I understand, because you could say always say you audibilize.
Yeah, like, you know, I heard the play. I have no doubt that Johnny Manziel ran the play about.
He very seldom ran the play that was called.
Well, there's times when he may not have even known what the play was. That was called. He's just going to do it anyway. But I don't know that I've ever seen this kind of no.
And I don't think anybody would not run the play that Mike Krzyzewski or Bobby Knight called, for example. I think there's certain coaches that, even when it's happened, we probably never heard about it. But there are, if you had a list of top five coaches that you weren't going to change the play, Knight and Krzyzewski would be high up on my list.
Well, two separate people have texted about another one that would be on that list. Someone texted, as a Spurs fan, I want to know what Pop would have done if a player did that to him. They wouldn't, but still, what if? And then someone else texted, LeBron wouldn't have gotten away with that with Popovich.
It's true.
It is probably true. The other thing, though, is you got to think Popovich isn't going to have LeBron.
He'd have been smart enough to play LeBron wouldn't have been throwing
LeBron
the ball in.
Probably not inbounding the ball with, 1.5 seconds left or whatever. But, it's interesting just to see that.
But how stupid is that for you to have LeBron throwing the ball in when, with that much time left, they can't get a pass back? So that wasn't a bright move.
Well, they were, down one? Or are they down two?
It's tied 84-84.
So it's tied? Yeah, tied. I guess if it's tied, then you might as well go ahead and fire away. But the thinking might be LeBron probably, I don't have the numbers on the Cavs team in front of me, but I'm going to guess, statistically is not their best three-point shooter. Might be what he's thinking.
I don't think he is either.
But, again, if the game is tied, you don't need a three-point shot, so why not just go ahead and get it to LeBron and get the best shot available?
If you have LeBron on, actually not throwing the ball, and he's going to get at least double teamed, so someone else got to be open.
Well, and they're also probably thinking that he's their best passer. I mean, he's one of the best passers in the game, and he's tall. So the fact that...
Okay, that coach should have said that. Hey, here's why I was doing that. He's the best passer in the NBA.
Well, it raises the question, what would have happened if he'd have missed? I mean, if...
We'd have never heard about it.
I mean, LeBron, essentially, it worked, but in a tie game, he essentially decided to shoot a fadeaway three-pointer or whatever, maybe it was a long two, but from the corner, I mean, that's not the best shot you can get on an inbounds play. So I don't know. To me, Popovich, probably this never would have happened. I mean, this would have been ironed out a long time ago. Also, I think LeBron would respect Popovich more. I mean, he's got 5 championships. He's not going to second-guess that level of basketball knowledge. Was it 5 championships and been in the title game a few more times? Or at least been in the Western Conference Finals a few more times. But the fact that he's a first-year coach, LeBron is his first year with him. He just doesn't seem to respect the guy.
Well, now I got to look at this. Okay, How many other times did LeBron question his coaching or change of play? How much time is he going to do in the future? Because no matter what this guy does, LeBron's going to say, well, hey, I can remember the Bulls game. You wanted me to do this. I'm smarter than you. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and he's done this a little bit. He clearly has had some – he doesn't agree with all his decisions. He's second-guessed him publicly before. It was just kind of – I think a good way to put it, since I watch so much basketball and so much coaching player interaction stuff, it was a little bit jarring, I guess, to me to see a player just say, no, we're not going to do that, and completely change the play in the closing seconds. And then the coach just kind of saying, oh, okay, yeah, you're right, let's do this other thing instead. Who knows? But like I said, I can't think of a situation where I've ever seen anything quite like that. The only one I can even remotely think of is I remember the Arkansas game in football one year when Kristen Michael and some of the offensive linemen were clearly upset at the offensive play calling that A&M had. I don't know if you remember this game, but I happened to be – this is before I wasn't in the press box. I was sitting with some friends, and we happened to be close enough that I could see the A&M sideline pretty well. And Kristen Michael and some of the A&M offensive line, I think they decided to kick a field goal or punt or something instead of going for it on a fourth down, and they were – not happy about it. And you could see them like screaming at the in the huddle and all this kind of stuff, but they still went out and did whatever the coach
did what they're
said.
Supposed to, yeah.
So that's the only time I've ever seen, at A&M anyway, players actually saying to the coach, like, hey, this is a bad idea. Yeah. So I don't know, it's kind of crazy. But worked out for the Cavs, and now they're a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals against someone. Presumably the...
You don't think the Bulls can come back and win that game series now, tied two-piece?
Well, it just doesn't feel like it. I mean, once that shot went in, it felt like this was the series the Cavs, now they're going to win it. I mean, it just... Had the Bulls won that game...
But after the Bulls had just hit a shot before, then everybody thought, they were going to win it.
I know, and it's a one-shot swing, but now going back to Cleveland, it just doesn't feel like it now. I don't know. I mean, maybe they will, but...
We'll see.
Plus, LeBron's got to get to the finals, right? Has to.
Well, for TV, for the NBA, yes, he does.
Yeah. I don't think the Hawks are going to carry the viewership of the...
Wow. that Hawks-Warriors final that everybody was dreading might not happen.
The long-awaited Hawks-Clippers NBA title series.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, who knows? All right, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk some A&M. Today, or over the weekend, A&M got a JUCO quarterback. And I want to talk about the kind of our opinion of why. And then, you know, if it matters, that kind of stuff. Hit us up, 229-1939 with your thoughts. When we come back, let's talk a little A&M quarterback situation. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. SH-90 is back open after heavy rains this morning in the Brazos Valley led to swollen creeks, streams, and rivers. The National Weather Service reports 3 to 5 inches of rain this morning from Navasota to Huntsville to Lufkin. Isolated amounts of 6 to 8 inches have been reported east of Navasota. Rainfall through 10 a.m. at Easterwood Airport measured 0.47 hundredths of an inch. Online at WTAW.com is a list of current road closures. A shockwave continues to make its way about the unexpected death of an original member of the staff of David Gardner Jewelers. Julia Gardner says jeweler gemologist Dean Wild died Wednesday night.
Dean grew up in Iowa, and he was planning on taking over the family farm, and unfortunately was in a car accident, ended up hospitalized and paraplegic. And as part of his occupational therapy, after the accident, one of the things he tried to do and liked was jewelry bench work. So then he went to Paris Junior College, and they had hired him right out of Paris Junior College 34 years ago.
The Gardners invite friends and customers to stop by the store to share their stories. Funeral arrangements for Dean Weil have not been finalized. Weekend drunk driving arrests included one that followed a near head-on collision with a Bryan Fire Department ambulance. This was Saturday just after midnight on William Joel Bryan by Sioux Haswell Park, where an SUV that was going east in the westbound lanes came to a stop after the near miss. In addition to the DWI, 72-year-old Ezequiel Guevara of Bryan was arrested on warrants from two cases from 4 years ago. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor. So now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend AggielandHelpWanted.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, hanging out, talking a little everything, anything and everything from over the weekend. Hit us up, 229-1939. We're going to turn our attention a little bit to the A&M quarterback position, because they added JUCO transfer, well, not officially, he hasn't signed or enrolled or anything yet, but JUCO transfer Jake, I think it's Hubenak is how he says his last name. I've never actually heard it said, so I'm kind of shooting shot in the dark there.
It's Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, Jake from Blinn. And, you know, it's an interesting. My initial reaction when I saw that come across was, huh, okay. Then, you know, and then I watched this film a little bit. I watched his highlights earlier, and this guy does bring a little bit of he brings some things that they are lacking. I mean, for one, he's huge. He's big, which is something that Kyler Murray certainly isn't. And he's got a good deep ball. I mean, he throws the ball deep in his tapes at Blinn. Of course, Blinn's got like three receivers that went Division I
right.
that I could have thrown a lot of yards to. But the first question is this a move for depth just to have him, or is this a guy that we think could come in and potentially battle with Kyle Allen? I mean, was your first reaction, you know, about hearing this just, okay, they're doing this just to have a guy, or is this a guy that can come in and help them, Cease?
Well, I'll look at it first from the A&M standpoint, if I can, because we had talked about this before, if not on the air. When you look at A&M's dynamics, you'd think, man, I don't want to compare them to Ohio State, but once Murray sent him coming, in baseball looked like a fading option with a shoulder problem that was reported during high school baseball season. He only hit 304 in high school. So I kind of felt Murray would end up at A&M just because he had such a bad high school season in baseball. So that being said, you're thinking, well, Allen and Murray. And, of course, everybody's already started. Who's going to start? You know, how long is it going to take Murray to displant Allen? It's a great problem for A&M to have. But I was still looking at it as, okay, you've got these two great quarterbacks. What has history shown us? Two great quarterbacks that believe they are the man A&M's going to, it's a win-win situation. But the loser, what do you do? I mean, I think it's going to be hard for A&M to keep those two guys healthy. And I've written before in blogs, if A&M can do that, fine. Everybody is different. I'm not saying that automatically the guy that doesn't win that job is going to go ahead and transfer out. But let's look at past history. Matt Davis, Jamil Showers. These guys were not nearly as talented as these two guys coming in. So once again, from the A&M standpoint, you're still looking at possibly at the end of the year, you could be have one legitimate quarterback. So who do you get? And you could say, well, you always go out and get, it's not easy to go out and get a five-star quarterback every year. A&M's done 2 years in a row. What's the odds of doing that 3 years in a row? I said, you need a guy that you know is going to be here. I don't want to say a Matt Jokel type, but, you know, you just need somebody. And only A&M knows the mental makeup of these guys. So I always thought junior college was a good route to go because these guys come in, they have baggage. Any way you look at it, some kind of baggage. And he has less baggage because he has 3 years. So A&M gets a guy that is probably good enough to get a scholarship at most Division I schools. I'm not going to say this guy's going to come in like you said. He looks like he has potential. I'm not painting this guy up like, oh, man, this guy's going to be starting next year. Not 2015, but 2016 by mid-year, he'll be the starter because someone else will go. Someone else will have an injury. But for A&M, it's hard to go out and recruit people. If you go out and recruit a four-star quarterback right now in Texas, you know, I'm Texas, Baylor, whoever, Hammer. Do you want to go there? They've got Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen. I mean, it's going to be hard for A&M to get that guy. So I think it was a great move by A&M.
Someone texted they're extremely excited to add more depth at quarterback. Mm-hmm. We were too thin there. That's the biggest thing. And that's what
that's I'm, true.
You don't want to write off this kid. Again, Jake from
Houston. Well, I'm not going to. I'm not
Houston.
Oh,
no, yeah. But the odds of him coming in and starting anytime soon aren't very high. But he has to know that. I mean, his quote to the Austin American Statesman was, it's wide open and whatever happens, I'm going to accept my role. That's exactly what A&M's looking for. And he's got three to play three, so he's not a big transfer candidate. I mean, he probably wouldn't want to waste a year of eligibility transferring somewhere else. To him, he's got to think, all right, at the same time, yes, these other two guys are talented, but one of them only played half a season as a true freshman. The other one hasn't played at all. Potentially has shoulder problems that we've talked about that are keeping him from playing baseball, so we don't know exactly how that affects him in football. But he's got to be thinking, hey, I've got a chance here. And even if I lose out to Kyle Allen, we've seen this in football lately that almost no one makes it through a whole year without having to use someone that they didn't expect to have to use at quarterback. And we've seen this lately. I mean, Zach Mettenberger was by statistically maybe the best LSU quarterback ever. They had to play the Arkansas game without him because he got hurt. And then, you know, we talked about the snaps that Matt Jokel had to take when Johnny Manziel was the quarterback, that he ended up having to take meaningful snaps against both Rice because Manziel was suspended and against Auburn because Manziel got hurt. You have to have someone who can come in and make a few plays. Now, is this kid going to be an NFL candidate? Maybe not. But from, you know, watching him, he obviously was good at Blinn, and we've seen that, you know, the Blinn's a pretty good program to pull guys from.
Cam Newton.
You know, and if he can come in, I love the fact that he tweeted out the photo of him as a kid with the jersey on and the helmet, and his dad went to A&M and all this kind of stuff. I think, like you said, it's a great pickup. At bare minimum, at worst, he gives you some depth at quarterback. And at best, maybe he turns into something. Like I said, he was kind of under-recruited because of a knee injury and then came back, was big at Blinn last year, so maybe he turns into something.
And I'll look at it from his standpoint, is because I think everybody, you go to the internet, try to find out as much as you can about this guy. As soon as word comes out, he tweeted out that he was coming here. And what I found fascinating from his standpoint was, you're right, he had the injury, thought he should have been more highly recruited than he was, went back and read all the stories when he read on from the Oklahoma State side when he walked on there. Oh, what a great coup for Oklahoma State. This is a guy that come in and play, da-da-da. Oklahoma State stole one. But then read the stories where he saw he wasn't getting any playing time. He saw the way that the depth chart was added up, so he immediately went to Blinn to go ahead and get a second chance coming back out. Then what I find interesting about that is, until we talk to Jake from Blinn, we're not going to know this, you can't start. You figure you can't get playing time at Oklahoma State because the guys are too young. They're already ahead of you in the depth chart. You come to Blinn. You want to get a fresh start. A&M's interesting because he's definitely behind Kyler Murray and Cal Allen coming in. But then I also wonder how much, now he's been out 2 years, the maturity factor comes into it. He could have gone to UTSA, some other places. But if you go,
he had an offer from Florida. Yeah, but, I mean, he had some big teams.
But you go there, there's no guarantee you're still going to start. I mean, I think he's been around. I don't want to put words in the guy's mouth, but you know, hey, I can go to A&M. You know, it's close to home. A&M, look what's happening at A&M. I got probably just as good a chance starting there as I do at Florida, UTSA, Oklahoma State. But if worse gets to worse, I'm at A&M.
You wonder why Texas isn't recruiting him, was my initial reaction.
That's the first thing you have to ask.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. And
okay, what is your answer? Okay, how do you answer that?
I don't know. My only guess is that they must really like Jerod Hurd, because otherwise it seems like a no-brainer. They've got... they could, okay. If he's any good at all, he could challenge for their starting job right away.
Okay.
And it seems like that, you know, they don't necessarily have a next best quarterback coming in either.
This tells me that this is the greatest news for A&M because Texas passes on a quarterback and
well,
A&M
it's
gets
usually magic.
Yeah, it's magic. I mean, it's just like, wow, it's the best thing could happen to A&M. All you got to say is, evidently, Texas wasn't recruiting him, so he must be awful good. Going back to, you know.
Well, and I was reading some of this stuff. Apparently, a lot of people thought he was going to stay at JUCO for another year. And so a lot of schools hadn't even really started evaluating him yet. Someone else texted, my first thought is I'm glad we've added depth. You know, where would Ohio State be without their third quarterback? But he said, I've never been more excited for a guy that I hope never plays, which is kind of true. I mean,
you do hope
he plays
in mop up roles of big victories.
So you hope you get some big wins. and then, like you said, someone else texted the fact that Texas isn't recruiting him is probably the biggest thing in his favor. Means he's probably a great quarterback. And like I said, I don't know. It's interesting to me that he's coming to A&M.
I kind of laugh once again on Saturday. I was actually covering tennis when the guy's tweet came out and went social, and I laughed to myself, and I said, you know, you can say a lot of things, but Kevin Sumlin still has that knack because you were looking, and you're going to say, okay, how can they get a good quarterback now that Kyler Murray's coming official? You got these two great quarterbacks, number one, 1 year, number one the next year. What's their chances of getting somebody next year? Lo and behold, Kevin Sumlin, it's like, Within a week, less than a week, like, hey, how about if we get this guy?
Someone did text that Texas did recruit him at safety.
Wow. Ba-dum-bump.
And so I said, the depth thing is obviously the first thing we think about, but I also don't think, and this is why I think this kid must be pretty good, or A&M, whether it's Spav or someone, sees something in this guy, because you're not going to use the scholarship, these valuable scholarships, on a guy that you don't think can help you, especially with 3 years left. Now, you might throw out a scholarship on a guy that's two to play two just because you're thinking, by the time, if he doesn't pan out, then you've recycled. Yeah, you're already through him anyway. But with a guy that's three to play three, you've got to think he can help you in some ways. And so, obviously, they see something in him.
Because that's, for the next 2 years, you're going to have four quarterbacks on scholarship.
Yeah. Well,
so you think of 85 and four is on quarterback. And I understand you want to keep it that way. And but once again, is A&M will not be recruiting a quarterback next year. So I'm just saying is they've got ahead. They like their three, and why wouldn't they?
Yeah, they apparently like the guy because you're not going to use a scholarship on someone you don't like.
And they're saying like, hey, we'll take this guy considering how – I think until we talk to the coaches and like you said, to everything, I bet maturity factor played a huge deal in this because it takes a special person to come in knowing you are battling – Allen and you are battling Murray. That takes a special person, I believe.
Yeah, and then we don't know the kid's. Just really wanted to go to A&M, and this fact. He's thinking even if the football thing doesn't work out,
I'm at A&M.
I'm at Texas A&M.
So I'm saying I think there's something to be said for that. We don't know. I don't put words. But yeah. I'm just saying is the bottom line is A&M.
Good move.
A&M answered I'm just laughing. In 1 week, what they did in quarterback depth. It was incredible because everybody said Murray could be going to baseball. We didn't even know who Jake from Blinn was. A week later, they've got four quarterbacks on scholarship.
Yeah, now they've got all kinds of quarterbacks. And like y'all mentioned, Ohio State that got down to their third quarterback. Was it Texas Tech ended up with a true freshman walk-on?
Correct.
To start the season. Was it last year? They ended up like way
it
down
was,
the
it
list.
It was last
or,
year.
Or a year before.
The guy transferred.
And then Baker Mayfield
last year
left.
Was a bad year.
We've seen Oklahoma get down to dire straits of quarterback recently. And
it's a great move.
Yeah, so hopefully it works
and
out.
And A&M plays in a pretty physical conference. They might get some hits there.
Well, and, you know, I'm not trying to write the guy off as not talented, but
no.
You don't have to be Andrew Luck to run the air raid offense. We've seen all kinds of guys be productive in this offense. And if the guy can read, the one thing that we've seen, if you can read defenses quickly and throw the ball quickly, you can succeed in this offense.
How many quarterbacks did Mike Leach have that were holding clipboards after their career and they threw for 5,000 yards in a year?
Yeah, 1,000 of them against A&M each year.
1,000 against
like.
A&M.
Anyway, so there we go. We all agree it's a good decision. And hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of them, learn more about them as the season gets a little bit closer. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to have, of course, Today in Aggie History, but also it's kind of a weird story out of the NFL season. I want to see how you feel about this and what the fans think. Gross is how it is. It feels gross. I can't think of anything specifically wrong with it, but it feels weird. And that's what I'm going to talk about when we come back. So come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Hello, it's the Toyota Time sales event. This is Jan.
Have I missed the deals? Oh, one sec.
Fastball, strike one.
I'm back.
No, in fact, during Toyota Time, we have 0% APR financing as well as leasing deals on a great selection of your favorite models.
I was going to come down earlier, but just my luck. Extra innings. Hold on.
Here's the pitch. Swag on and foul away.
How's your selection?
Great. We have an all-star lineup of reliable Toyotas led by the bold 2015 Camry and the power-hitting Tundra. And if you're thinking MPG, Corolla and Prius have the bases covered.
There's a high drive. Deep left.
On my way.
Oh, but you're still on the air.
You take over.
What? What a game, folks. Now let's hear a word from our sponsor.
The Toyota Time sales event ends June 1st. Hurry in today. Get 0 for 60 plus 1500 on a new 2015 Tundra Crew Max Special Edition for a savings over 6000. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and 6115. Not all customers will qualify. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends June 1st. Toyota, let's go places.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Team Auto, and Subway. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150, and The Zone HD.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
The Rangers are hitting the road, and we're inviting you to join the team. 2015 includes 5 destinations to 4 of the finest cities in the U.S. and 1 trip to Canada. We'll be in Los Angeles for interleague play, Boston to play the Sox, as well as Minneapolis and sunny San Diego. And you can join us north of the border in Toronto. Each trip includes hotel accommodations, a private meet and greet with a Rangers player, a VIP ballpark tour, and a Rangers gift bag. Book your trip at TexasRangers.com/destinations.
Listen to Aggie football, basketball, baseball, softball, and soccer on your home for Aggie athletics. The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back. Robert Bloom, Robert Cessna, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. All right, see, this is the story. This is what I'm going to talk about. It's a little bit... if you say what's wrong with this, I don't have a specific answer. It just feels weird. And that's this report of the weekend from the NJ.com. Basically, the New Jersey, the paper up there in New Jersey, saying... that, you know, based on open records, they found that the Defense Department had paid 14 NFL teams $5.4 million over the last 2 seasons to do these in-game, like, recognitions of the troops, the honoring of the hero, the, you know, this... They, you know, they have them on the Jumbotron.
Sure, yeah,
and say,
yeah,
take
yeah.
a moment to honor. Yeah. It turns out the teams are getting paid to do that. And
tax dollars.
Yeah. Which seems bizarre. And like as someone said, that
that's pretty bad.
You know, the branches of the armed forces advertise. We all know that. We've seen commercials for the Air Force and the Army and the Marines and all kinds of stuff. But the fact that they are using this money to pay professional sports teams to then honor the troops during the game, this is one of those things that you always feel like is, you know... oh, look, it's a nice thing.
Heartwarming.
It's nice that the Jets are doing this. Now you find out they're getting paid to do it. I don't like it.
You give us $100,000, we will go ahead and talk about you coming home. See, that's just
feels,
wrong.
Right, it feels
that's
wrong.
That's just wrong.
And I don't like it. You know, like I said, that came out over
not
the weekend. And I don't know that there's anything technically wrong with it. It just feels wrong. You know, it doesn't feel genuine anymore that they have these.
I'm just shocked the NFL wouldn't say, hey, look, we're going to go ahead. Each one of our teams will do this. We'll go ahead and do this as a public service. As opposed to taking the money and run.
Yeah, and we're not talking a little bit of money here. Like I said,
oh, yeah,
14
talking,
teams,
yeah.
$5.4 million. The specific one for the Jets was almost $400,000 the last 3 seasons. And it's just, like I said, it just feels wrong. I don't like it at all. So
need help to pay for Roger Goodell's salary. So you know.
Well, and that's part
it's
of
pretty
the...
bad. That's pretty bad.
That's another part. Some people have rumored now because of this coming out that part of why the NFL tried to, you know, reclassify as to go ahead and pay taxes to not be a nonprofit is so that they could keep stuff like this hidden. To where now they didn't quite get there in time. This was subject to open.
No, that's ugly. That's going to have some lifetime, and that's going to have some social media time. NFL, we realize how important college football is, NFL football is to us as patrons, but to know you're getting paid to do the right thing.
Well, this included a segment at the Jets games called The Hometown Hero, where they would feature a soldier or two on the Jumbotron, and then they would ask the crowd to thank them for their service and all this kind of stuff. That was part of this thing they're getting paid to do.
Well,
this
you know,
sounds ridiculous.
And now someone's going to dig deeper, and they're going to find out that, for example, is... the assistant PR person at the New York Jets, they picked his cousin. I mean,
well,
you're gonna find that out there.
More than that, you now have to wonder if there were people in a back room like haggling over this price. Someone said, "All right, we'll recognize the troops for $500,000.
But we need."
And yeah. Was the defense, whoever their person is, going, you know, we want you to recognize the troops. But we're not going higher than $350,000.